soft. We need to stay moldable. God, we need to be in our heart and life not so stubborn when it comes to allowing you to do your will in our life. Father, however that looks, whatever that means, Father, we know that you allow us to go through things. You allow us to experience some difficult times and difficult things of life. And God, we know that you are continually molding us, as Scripture says, a vessel meant for the Master's use. And God, I just pray as we realize that, we know that your hands are always working. You're always molding and perfecting our lives to show your Son. And God, as we think of that, Lord, I pray that that is our prayer, that we pray every day, that we ask you to see the world the way you see it, to have a heart for the world the way you do, so that we can be effective, that sometimes it means you got to change us before we can be a part of the change of others. And God, we just uplift that to you, just a good song and a reminder that we need to stay where we can be molded by you. And God, we just uplift that to you tonight. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Before we get started, and I was going to ask and see if anybody wanted to give any testimony of Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week, and did want to make sure you had opportunity to share something that you're grateful for. Maybe something just happened or something you've always been grateful for. You're welcome to share that. Give you a couple minutes. Jim? Good. Getting that definite praise. Kathy making it through her surgery Friday and is here with us tonight, so that's great. Anyone else have anything of the thankfulness? Yes? Amen. There's a lot of gratefulness in the fact of knowing that our hope comes because we know he knows. So he's in control of it all. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Rodney. Yeah, he does. His sustaining grace keeps us safe, keeps us where we need to be. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Yes. It is, definitely. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff in every home, every house, every place. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful. Yes. Yeah, definitely, definitely. God strengthen us, so good to have you strong. Roger even said so. Guys, tag team, take turns. That's good. Wendy? Mm-hmm. Amen. Even though it's hard going through some of them life lessons, you know, as we know from Corinthians 1, that He is the God of all comfort. And when we are comforted, we are to comfort others. So some of them life lessons are hard, but yet we can turn around and use them for His glory. So, yeah, very grateful for that. Anyone else? Yeah, Jace. Definitely grateful that I'll put it this way, but this isn't towards you. I am so glad that God protected me when I was young and stupid. That's why I'm wise and old. Sometimes we make choices that we're glad God protects us through them. So, yeah. So I resemble that way too much. But, yeah, God uses those things, and He puts us in places where we can pass them on to others and use them for His glory. Anyone else? Want to cut anybody short? Yes.
We recently had an unexpected financial need, like several thousands of dollars. Mm. And we were thinking, we go, where's that going to come from? And about a month ago, we were in a church down in South Carolina. It took me a week-long meeting, and the pastor wanted to move it to the summer, so it ended up being just a Sunday. So it was a church on Sunday. And in walked these people that we knew from San Francisco. Mm. This man had actually been, you know, those cable cars, he was a driver of one of those cable cars, and we've seen them periodically as they've been out there, but we had no idea they had moved to Florida, and saw our itinerary, and decided to drive their motor home up to South Carolina to attend the week of meeting. Found out they were canceled.
You have no idea. Yeah, definitely. He does take care of us in ways we don't know. That song Robin sang, God will make a way. So appreciate that. Brother Lee. Amen. Well, Kim and I appreciate that. And it's, as I always say, the more I get out of the way, the better God is. So I appreciate that. But that's our goal in life. You know, we live life faithfully to let Christ be seen through us and let Him do everything else. And that's awesome when He does. And so we greatly appreciate that. Anyone else before we get into our study? All right. Just remember to always look back, always look for, and look towards the blessings that God gives us. I want to go back into this morning's text and pull one verse out. Sunday nights, we always dig a little deeper. So in Colossians 1, I want to dig into one of the verses, verse 11, and look at it just a little bit more, because what I'm finding in sometimes in my life, and I believe in many lives of Christians today, we get to the point to where we can do it, and it's not always a wrong thing, you know. It's like a young child learning to walk. As they learn to walk, sometimes they fall, and sometimes they can't do it. Sometimes you've got to hold on to them, and other times they can get up and go. So there are times in our life when God expects us just to do it, okay? Just to continue doing what you're doing, continue to be faithful. And there are other times that we really got to rely on God for getting us through. Well, when we look at verse 11 this morning, and I went through it quickly, knowing we were going to study a little bit more tonight, but it was the third, if you remember, it was one of the strengths. It was one of the results, for the results that we have going into being a someone who knows the will of God and living and pleasing God. Well, some of those things is we get a strength. And when we look at verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto the patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I want to look at that verse a little bit because I think what Paul was trying to teach and what I think we need to understand is that there is a level of our life lived that we absolutely cannot do it without God. And there is part of our lives, and I think we know that, but there's part of our lives that without the strengthening of God, we would never be able to end up the last phrase of that verse, joyful. It's hard to stay joyful in a world we live today. Because of everything we see, everything we face, everything we go through. And so I want to, and we mentioned this morning that that strength that we have in God gives us a solid mind of truth. Well, that solid mind of truth is very important, but how do we keep it there? And that's what I mean. That power, that strength to keep our mind solid towards him, I think comes from a strength that only God can give us. And so we want to pick that verse apart a little bit and look at it, because when you first see this strength mentioned there, basically, it's a strength that is with all power according to his glorious. Or that strength with all might according to his glorious power. And so there is a time in our life where if it would not be for God's glorious might and power, we'd sink. We'd be done. There are times when we go through that without that power. So I wanted to look at that a little bit tonight because this verse included three words that we want to look at and go to a couple other scriptures tonight. First of all, as we see this in verse 11, in his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. So when you look at these words, first of all, being strengthened in of itself, and that's strengthened the very first time you see that. This being strengthened is a word that is a continual process. God didn't say at salvation, you've got all the strength you need. You've got everything you need. Although we do have all the Spirit of God. We do have all the power of God, but we don't exercise all of that power of God because we don't really understand him. We don't know him. We don't have not lived a relationship long enough with him to know him. And so when you see this being strengthened, it's important to realize that it never ends. It's a continual, always available for you and I. And that's encouraging to me because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what the next step is. We don't know when somebody is going to hit the wrong button and bring everybody into the war that they're all trying to do anyway. We don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And so if I'm going to sit and stew or worry or say, you know, I don't know, and therefore what am I going to do? Well, we have that strength that God gives us by his might, his strength, his power, being strengthened. And again, going back to understanding that it's fresh every morning. We're not consumed by God's mercy, Lamentations 3:22. It's fresh every morning. So every day, God is there strengthening. You're being strengthened every day for the exact amount that you need to get through the exact issues of that day. Because God said so. So we don't, or we can't start our day on our own. We can't go and say, you know, I'm just going to live my life today and I'm going to go do and I'm going to be okay. Usually that works until something happens. After that hit or after somebody says something or something at work or something different happens, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can't handle this anymore. And I've seen several issues of that throughout working out in the work world before ministry and even during ministry. You know, you're out there and you're working with individuals and all of a sudden, I can't take this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And so what happened? Well, they didn't have the strength or didn't rely on the strength that God was giving them. So it's very important to realize this being strengthened in the beginning part of this verse is important because we're being strengthened with what? Power. That power basically is a spiritual vitality. It's a spiritualness. God, that God is strengthening us with what? It's according to verse 11, with all might, all power is given to you and I. There is nothing that you and I can ever get hit with in this world that God does not give us the strength and the power to go through. Now try to put that into your back burner and think of the things you've been through in life. Think of all the issues you've had to face, all the struggles you faced, all the problems you've had to face, the ups and downs. And it's as you see this, you realize that God has given us the power. We're still here. Nothing that any of us right here tonight has faced has taken us out. We don't know how we got through it while we're in it. We don't know how we're going to get through it. We don't know what's going to happen in life. But we're now on the other side of it, looking back, saying, you know what? God gave me strength for that. God gave me the ability to get through that. And so this strength that is given continually is a power that is given in a realm that gives you and I the ability. It's the power. And again, the word might, this whole power and might comes together and says it's a power that overcomes resistance. It's a power that overcomes the things that are coming at us. It's a power that even allows us to choose better. And that power we have to realize and have to tap into. Because if we don't realize and tap into that power, what happens? Well, we begin to try to do it on our own. We try to make our best choices. We try to do our best effort to stay faithful. We do our best effort to stay doing for God, and we can't. And I don't know if this is like rocket science to some people, but we actually really need to live our life like we believe we can't do it alone. We say we know we can't do it alone, and we know we can't do it alone, and yet a lot of times in our life, we don't go to God until we've already blew it. We don't go to God until we've already done all we can. And so when we realize right off the get-go, you know what, God, I can't go through this without you. I can't do this without you. And so as we do go through it, we are then given that power. We are given that might, basically, to overcome the resistance. And it's interesting, all of this, as it says in verse 11, is according to his glorious power. It's all given to us by God. None of it can be mustered up. None of it's our own. None of it can we do or store up. You know, we are to store up things in heaven. We're not to store up strength because we can't. And so realizing as we go through life, there is a continual process, a continual thing that God is doing in our life every day. He is strengthening us so that we have the ability to go through that day. He never promised you have strength enough today as long as you stay in today. As long as your mind don't take you too far down that road, oh man, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen? Well, God only knows, literally. When you come to that point, you'll have it. Until you get there, you won't. And so sometimes we need to realize if we stay in the day, you know what? I got the strength to get through this day. No matter what the day holds, no matter what happens, I've got the strength to get through today. Why? Because I am being strengthened by a power and a might that only God can give me. And when God gives me that power, I can overcome anything that comes against me. I can overcome anything that I go through in life. So when I study through this and I look at this, I say to myself, then why don't I? Why is it so hard to overcome the things of life? Why is it so hard to put up with that one or two individuals that really get under your skin? Why is it so hard for you and I to live like we are in the power of God? I go back to last week's study. It's that nature within us. It's that struggle that we have going on. And I still believe that we really have never seen someone who has been completely 100% sold over to God this side of heaven except Christ. And so to me, it's the more you surrender, the more knowledge you have, the more strength you realize you have, but you also realize it all comes from God. So you trust God. Trust is the exercising of your faith. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't exercise it, it really doesn't do much for you. As you live your faith, as you're trusting that God will, and some of the testimonies tonight, God was providing, God is setting things up, and you don't even know it. God is taking care of us, even as Ronnie mentioned on the road, God is taking care of us in ways that we can't see and things that we don't know. That's God strengthening us to say, you know what, I'm going to be okay. Now, that doesn't give you a license to go be crazy, but it allows you to live life not worrying because God has it. And we know that, don't we? We know that's true. But it is hard for us to live that every day, to take that every day and not worry about it or not stress over it or not complain about it or not want to fix it. That's our other nature. So, according to what I study and what I see in this verse, it's something that only comes from God. God can only give it to us because this, and it continues by God for us, and it never stops. It is a continually being strengthened. So, how do we know it's working for us? How do we know that we're actually succumbing to the idea that I need to not only live in the faith, but I also need to live in the power that God has given me to be able to get back up, to be able to have the joy, to have the way of life? How do we know it's working? Well, the next phrase of that chapter 11 tells us, because unto all, it means this is what's going to happen next. You've got patience and you have long suffering with joy. How do you know that you're resting in the power of God? It's interesting because when you look at this endurance, and again, set your finger there in Colossians, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We've got a couple verses we're going to look at in the book of James to go along with this. And again, scripture proving scripture. It's very important. But in James chapter 1, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's the same concept, the same word that he's using here in Colossians. So knowing that God is strengthening us and it's by his power, his might, we're going to learn patience. Patience for what? Whatever you're going through. Whatever you're waiting on. Whatever you're praying for. Whatever struggles you're going in life. God wants us to live a life of patience. How patient are you? How does that working for us? See, if we understand that we're living our life in patience, then we're understanding the power of God in our life. We're not just knowing it, but we're actually living it every day. So there's a part of our life that needs to be lived in patience. We actually need to wait for God, allow God to do things, allow God to make it work. And we need to become less in a hurry for things to happen. Listen, life goes by fast, doesn't it? And this year's like gone. It's like, man, where did this year go? Life goes by very fast. And I was always told the older you get, the faster it goes. And I realized that's only because you slow down and life keeps going. That's why it goes so fast. You can't keep up to it anymore. That's why. But you know, when we look at how fast things go in our life, even our life, and I had a really good friend in the hospital, talked to him Tuesday night before we left. We were joking around and clowning around, and he's just always made jerky. He had jerky in his pocket, just a great guy. Went to work Wednesday. He died. Never woke up. He died. And it's like, man, things just go. Have patience. You and I need to have a result in our life to know that we're resting and trusting in the power and the strength of God. And that is by a patient. James 1:3 says the same thing. It's by the trying of our faith, the working of our faith. It's the living the faith, as we mentioned, and even Cheryl mentioned, but it's by having that faith. The more faith you live by, the better you know your God. And so by the trying of your faith, listen, that's the only way that I know that I have faith is if it's tested. If my faith is never tested, then I don't even know if I have it. It's when we are tested, tried, it shouldn't lead us to anger. It shouldn't lead us to worry. It shouldn't lead us down a road that God doesn't want us to go. It should lead us to patience. And I'm telling you, that's hard for me. I'm sure it's hard for all of us to have that patience waiting for God. Because we think by our watch or by our calendar, it needs to be fixed because I'm running out of time. And I can just picture God, I mean, in a humanistic way, picturing God laughing and saying, really? Like you can control the time? And yet we try to, we try in our lives. So the first evidence that we see is in the endurance, basically translated again in perseverance. And then in James chapter 5, verse 11, sticking with the book of James for a minute, going to chapter 5, verse 11. James says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. The patience of Job. I've heard that so much in my life. Oh, you need to get the patience of Job. Well, no, I don't want to go through all that. And when I read Job, I don't see him very patient. He's doing all kind of stuff, and he's arguing with his friends. But you know what he did? His patience is shown in the fact that he never cursed and never gave up on his God. You see, that's biblical patience. And we need to get here because our term of patience means I've waited 20 minutes. I'm patient. No. Biblical patience means I'm going to go as long as it takes and never give up my God in the process. That's biblical patience. And so that's the patience that needs to be proven in our life. In our life, we got this power of God. We got this strength by his might. All that he can give us, he's going to say, I'm going to give you all you need. Hang on to me. Rest in me. Lean into me. Come sit on my lap. Just whatever you got to do until it's resolved. And whatever the it may be, until it's resolved, don't let go of me. That's biblical patience. And I think that's what Paul is talking about in Colossians. He was excited because they were here still having their faith and their love. They were still sharing Christ. And he was praying that they would be strengthened even more to continue to live through the persecution, to live through the life that they were going through, to live all that the first century church had to face. Stay true to God. Don't give up on him. So biblical patience is the first one we see back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. The patience. And then the long-suffering comes in. And again, this long-suffering and patience comes together to endure. Again, when Paul adds patience with the long-suffering, it's kind of interesting. Because what he says is basically you need to have patience and in the midst of, you need to have some long patience. Or to have it for a long period of time. And this endurance and patience are often associated together. Go to Bible 2 Corinthians really quickly. We're going to just turn to a couple pages or a couple places that has mentioned of this patience and endurance. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. Paul said, this is how I am approving, how I am proving that we are called by God. I'm proving that we are ministers of God. How? In patience during our issues. Patience during the afflictions, patience during the prison ministry, patience during. You see, that's the long suffering. We're willing to say, as long as it takes, God, I'm going to practice biblical patience. I am going to never give up on you until it's resolved, until things are answered, until things are accomplished. That's the long suffering, and they go hand in hand in many times. A couple other places in 2 Timothy 3:10, and again in James 5:10 and 11, they all talk about this patience and long suffering. Patience in as long as it takes. And I tell you, that's new to a lot of us living in the world we live in, because we see deadlines, we see time frames, we see issues of what do I do next and how am I going to get there, and all along God's saying, listen, just be patient for as long as it takes, because I got this. I got this. That's what Paul said. That's how we are proving our ministry of God, because we will never let our God go. Talk about a calling of God in the ministry. And I know one professor told me that you better make sure and solidify your call to go into ministry. He said, because there are going to be many days in your life that's all you have to hang on to. And boy, I tell you, that's a true testimony, 30 years of ministry. Many times, that was all had to hang on to, because you really begin to question. You really begin to doubt. Is anybody listening? Is anybody around? Does anybody care? Does all these things? I mean, Satan bombards ministers' minds and hearts. Barry's here. He can attest to it, I'm sure. Pastor Lee can attest to it. It's amazing the avenues and the effects, the things that Satan tries to do to God's people, God's ministers. You got to make sure you're calling. Paul says, my calling is proved because I stay patient, which means I stay hanging on to my God for as long as it takes. How long did it take Paul for the problem to be solved? How long was Paul in ministry? Because until he died, it wasn't solved. He still got beat. He still got thrown. He still got railed against because of his faith in Christ. So his long suffering happened from road to Damascus to the time he died. That was his long suffering. And the whole time his biblical patience said, I never gave up on my God. I'll tell you, what a testimony to us. What a thing that we need to get into our lives. I'm never going to give up on my God, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how long I've got to go through this. I'm going to stay true to my God, which means, flip side, I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm not going to try to get out of it. I'm not going to try to adjust it. I'm going to do my part and be faithful to my God in it. And I think that's the patience, that's the long suffering that he's talking about in this verse, because that is the only thing I know that you're going to be able to do it with joy. And that's the most important part of the ending of this, that this joy comes in, and that we're able to have this long temperament, or basically it's a long temperament or long suffering is a self-resistance which does not stop. It's a long resistance that does not stop. And so with that, we can only do that. And again, we know, according to what he's saying, all of this is according to God's glorious might. How strong is God? What can outpower God? What can outmaneuver God? What can outthink God and play God? Nothing. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He's everything. And we've got his power, his might. And we can't even get over a hangnail in our toes or our hands. We struggle over the littlest things in life. We worry about the littlest things. How is this going to happen? How is this going to be fixed? Answer the question. How is this going to happen? By you waiting patiently for God to do it. That's when the joy comes. You know why? You know how much pressure that takes off you? You know how much that takes off your shoulders? When God did not command us to make it work. Man, we would all be in a hot mess if that was true. We would never be able to make it work. But God said, I've given you all that I have. I've given you by my might, my power, the ability to be able to do this. Interesting, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul wrote of God's great power and the working of his mighty strength, which raised Christ from the dead. That's power. That's a authority. And you see, that's the difference. You and I have power to accomplish things in life. We have power to do things. God is not wanting us to just sit around on puppet strings and let him do everything. He's gifted us and given us abilities and strength to do them. Go do them. But don't outrun or outplay the hand of God. You can't. That, according to what he even wrote in Ephesians 1, Paul was saying, that power that it comes with authority. We have power, but we have no authority. To have the authoritative power of God in our life, man, you and I ought to be able to accomplish everything. We should be able to accomplish the worst and the greatest of our lives should be lived in joy. There should be no demeanor difference. And go back to David, his sin in Bathsheba. When they looked at him and his countenance was of one, after he died, they expected him to be worse. And what? His countenance was better. Why? Because he knew that he would see his child again. And so there's an outward countenance. Have you ever been around somebody where you knew exactly where they stood because of their outward countenance? The way their eyes were like rolling? Husbands, you understand. Y'all get the roll of the eyes. I know we do. Y'all know exactly. When you said something that isn't quite right, you know, you get that roll. Our outward sometimes speaks louder than what our hearts really want it to. God has given us the ability to have his power. And I want to tell you, when we understand that, when we bring that into perspective, that's when we can take verse 11 and we can have this joyfulness of life. That's the only way we can be joyful in life. It's a joy that doesn't come from having. It's not a joy that comes from accomplishing. It's not a joy that comes because everything worked for you that day. It's a joy that comes to know I don't have to carry the burden of responsibility for fixing the broken life. God will. I don't have to bear the responsibility of making it all work. God will. My responsibility is just patiently hanging on for as long as it takes and never rejecting my God in the process, never giving up on my God in the process. And so that's encouraged. That's a challenge tonight for me and for all of us as we study through just that one verse and bringing it to a perspective. Because then again, as we studied this morning, it goes down to giving thanks. You can't give thanks if you're not joyful. True statement. Many people do not thank God in the midst of a broken heart. They question God. They wonder, why me? Why now? Why this? And we have the ability to turn that around and not question him, not thank him for it, but thank him that we have the power to overcome. Thank him for the power to have that longevity of resistance in order to stay true to who he is. That's what God, that's the joy that we have. That's the joy we get. So I trust you find your joy in amidst this broken world that we live in. And with that being said, hope you all have a good Thanksgiving. Find your joy and make it, put it together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are tonight. And Father, as we study that verse and break it down a little bit, and God, I'm convinced that this is not new to us. This is stuff that we know and we understand, but God, we just need a good reminder at times because it's very easy. At longer that we, as we are Christians, and the longer that we walk in this world knowing you, sometimes we do veer away a little bit, and sometimes we do get caught up in the timetables and the time frames of this world. And Lord, I pray tonight that you teach us to understand your strength, understand the abilities that we have with it, and also understand the extra heartaches we have without it. God, I just pray that you continue to allow each of us to just do a little soul searching. And God, allow us to have that patience and allow us to, biblical patience, to simply just hang on to you and never let you go in the midst of whatever may come. God, we just raise it to you. We thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.